Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Sanjay. Summer is almost over, and for many of us, that means returning to work or school. Now, it's normal to feel nervous in some social settings from time to time. But for second grade teacher Joe Berlanga, it goes way beyond that.
Definitely my heart is racing. My whole body is hot. My thoughts are not straight. I cannot speak clearly. Yeah, it's all of just my nerves. I mean, they're just going full throttle and I don't know, you know, how to contain it or calm it down. I just try to breathe through it.
But the funny thing is this, when she's in front of her second grade students,
I'm normal. I show up every day. I come in. The kids are familiar with a routine. I'm used to a routine. And so everything is pretty normal and calm and consistent.
Joe's fear only kicks in when she's faced with big groups of adults.
I think that whenever I'm with a group of peers, colleagues, or in a team meeting, I may seem like I'm calm, but inside, just internally, I cannot get my thoughts straight.
For many of you, Joe's experience may sound familiar. Social anxiety affects 15 million Americans, making it one of the most common mental health disorders in the country. That's according to the NIH. But what exactly is it? And what can we do to feel better? Today, we're going to decode social anxiety and look at some of the steps you can take to help yourself and others feel less fearful, less awkward. I'm Dr. Sanjay Gupta, CNN's chief medical correspondent. And it's time to start chasing life.
Social anxiety, most generally, is a disproportionate fear of being judged or rejected.
That's Alan Hendrickson, a clinical psychologist at Boston University's Center for Anxiety and Related Disorders. She says some degree of social anxiety is actually pretty normal, but it can also be a serious clinical disorder if it meets certain criteria.
There are two thresholds. One is distress, and that essentially means that we're suffering. So, for example, if we lose sleep or we get stomach aches because we're so anxious, then that's distress. It means we're suffering. The other threshold is impairment, and that means we're not living the life we want to live. So my classic example is a student who deliberately forgoes part of their grade because they're not willing to raise their hand and get those class participation points.
Let's spend a minute just talking about treatment then. Someone has come to see you and you've diagnosed the individual with social anxiety. What are the various options in terms of treatments?
So I do cognitive behavioral therapy, which posits that if we can challenge the way we think and change the way we act, then that will change the way we feel. So what we will usually do is to create this gigantic list of all the things that the person wants to do but is avoiding. And then we rank it from easiest to hardest and work our way through. And so I will do a lot of these things alongside my clients. And so, you know, in the name of, you know, social anxiety treatment, I've done some, you know, interesting things. I've spilled my coffee in a crowded Starbucks. I have asked for lemongrass in a hardware store. Like, I've gone jogging with clients. We will do a lot of things that, for whatever reason, they, you know, are worried about doing. And so we will work our way through. So that's the behavioral aspect. And we'll also challenge thoughts and beliefs, like people are going to reject me if I don't present like really perfectly. Do we really have to be articulate and funny and, not awkward in order to be accepted? No, there's probably some wiggle room there. So trying to challenge the beliefs that really maintain social anxiety, as well as trying to face our fears, is really this magical 1-2 punch that can really work wonders for folks who have lived with social anxiety for a long time.
That's sort of the cognitive behavioral therapy, right?
Yes.
And then you also talk about mindfulness-based stress reduction as well, right? Is that another option?
Generally, there are two big buckets of treatment options. So one bucket is change. And so what I described with cognitive behavioral therapy squarely falls into that bucket. We're trying to change thoughts. We're trying to change behaviors. But there's this whole other bucket called acceptance. And there, that is where mindfulness falls in, because all these thoughts that we're having of that, you know, people are going to think I'm a loser, or people are going to think I'm awkward, or like, I'm not any good at this. Those are just thoughts, right? Those like thoughts aren't truth, but we can train ourselves to observe those thoughts as they, you know, come flying at us. We can learn to just recognize, oh, this is what my brain does. These are the things my inner critic throws at me, but we don't have to react to those things. And we can still, you know, be friendly and open and start conversations, even though those thoughts are there.
And what about exposure therapy or immersion in this? Is that a good idea to immerse?
So I'm of the school that slow and steady wins the race. So I am more of the person who encourages clients to dip their toe into the pool and kind of inch their way in, as opposed to doing a cannonball into the deep end. That can work. It's certainly, you know, more painful. But I think regardless, exposure therapy should be exactly that. You should expose yourself to your fears, face your fears, try to drop those safety behaviors, but at the same time, go at your own pace. Be kind to yourself.
Again, this is such a personal topic for me because of, you know, I'm raising three teenage girls. But if you see someone in your life, a friend, coworker, family member, and you think that they may have some of these traits that you're describing, they are socially anxious, is it best to approach them, to ask them about it, to intervene in some way, or not?
Our urge is often to accommodate them, to say, oh, well, okay, well, you don't have to do that. Or, well, okay, maybe we'll think in our heads, well, I won't invite you to my next party because I know you would hate that. However, there is a fine line between accommodating and enabling. And so I would say to talk to them and say, you know, how can I support you? How can I encourage you? If you can sense that they're feeling anxious before an event or you're about to go out, you can say, well, remember, you know, last time, like you were nervous, but then after 10 minutes, you really settled in. Or I remember, you know, last time you wanted to bail also, but you were really glad you went at the end of the day. You can be their champion and remind them that they can do hard things as opposed to, you know, accommodating to the point of enabling. I think there's a little bit of both that are appropriate. Encourage them, be their champion, and allow them, you know, an escape hatch. Absolutely. You don't want to hold their feet to the fire.
If you're someone who lives with social anxiety, it is important to remind yourself there are a lot of people just like you out there, and that there are things you can do about it on your own right now. Here are some tips from Professor Hendrickson to help us manage our social anxiety in the moment and feel more comfortable at any sort of get-together. Tip number one, if you're in the grip of anxiety during a social interaction, turn your attention outward.
Pay attention to the person you're talking to, you know, look at their face, listen to their words, and essentially, you know, turn that spotlight outward. It makes it easier to connect, and it, in addition, makes you come across as more attentive, more genuine, more authentic, and you have more bandwidth to pay attention to the moment.
Tip two, next time you go to an event, make a game plan ahead of time.
You can say you're going to talk to a certain number of people. You're going to appoint yourself as the unofficial photographer. You can ask people to sign the guest book, etc. Give yourself a role, and that will give you more certainty.
Tip number three, don't put off facing your fears.
We often feel like we want to retreat from the world and work on ourselves and then emerge newly confident and ready to take on the world. But instead, switch those. Put action first. Do the things that you're afraid of, kindly, slowly, and your confidence will catch up.
Tip four, resist the urge to be perfect.
Allow yourself some wiggle room to make mistakes, to have an awkward pause here or there, to trip over your words. Social relationships don't hinge on the last conversation. So it's okay to lower the bar and to focus on connection rather than your performance.
And finally, I think it's only fitting that our last tip comes from second grade teacher Joe Berlanga, who we heard from earlier.
I do a lot of just deep breathing, and I try to get my attention, my mind away from what is coming or what's going to happen. But when you're there, you're there.
It's a great tip, and it might actually seem pretty obvious, but simply taking a few deep breaths really activates what is known as our parasympathetic nervous system, which controls the body's ability to relax. Try it yourself. It works almost immediately. Now, these tips may not completely erase social anxiety, but they can help calm our nerves, especially when they're in overdrive. I've already started putting some of them into action, and I can tell you that my interactions with people are more joyous, and they're more genuine as well. It's a question of trying to be as present as possible without letting our own minds get in the way. And sometimes that can really help alleviate social anxiety. We'll be back next week with a special preview of my colleague and friend Anderson Cooper's brand new podcast. You won't want to miss it. Chasing Life is a production of CNN Audio. Megan Marcus is our executive producer. Our podcast is produced by Emily Liu, Andrea Kane, Xavier Lopez, Isoke Samuel, Grace Walker, and Allison Park. Tommy Bazarian is our engineer, and a special thanks to Ben Tinker, Amanda Seeley, Carolyn Song, and Nadia Kunang of CNN Health, as well as Rafina Ahmad, Lindsay Abrams, and Courtney Koop from CNN Audio.
Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.